If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know that feeling when your day finally slows down and you just want to relax, unplug, and feel good? That's where Mood.com comes in. They're changing the game, delivering legal THC products right to your door, no shady dealers, and absolutely no medical card required, just good vibes and better sleep, shipped straight from their farm to your couch. From delicious THC gummies, smooth vape pens, to premium THC flower, Mood has it all. And everything's federally legal under the 2018 Farm Bill. Yeah, this isn't some loophole. It's the real deal. Head to Mood.com and use code FIRST20 for 20% off your first order. That's MOOD.com. Find your mood.
Man, I had the heck of a trip up here this morning. I left home at just a few minutes after 7. I got to that gas station there at 1 and 28, that new one. And there was a few older cars there. And I'm like, oh, crap. It's Ducktail Run. And I thought, oh.
What the hell is Ducktail Run?
You don't know what Ducktail Run is?
Apparently not. No, I just asked what the hell it was.
I've never heard of it either.
Oh, my Lord.
Sounds like a bunch of Trump supporters. That's what it sounds like.
It's James Dean days. Yeah, it's James Dean days. They have a big old car show. And it's
I know James Dean days.
Yeah,
I enjoy going to that. I went, last time I went, I dressed up as James Dean for it.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
well, they have two. There's one in Gas City called Ducktail Run, and then the one that's in Fairmount is called, I think it's just called James Dean Days or something.
That's the one I go to. It's always around my birthday, usually. Mm-hmm.
They used to have them at the same time, but I don't know if that they do that anymore.
Probably. I mean, while everyone's in town.
I don't know.
I love James Dean Festival. Mainly, I like James Dean, you know, support the gay artists. And then there's always Marilyn Monroe stuff there as well.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So me and my bestie would go there.
There was this one old Ford truck that was sitting there. And I'm like, oh, that is so cool looking. And it was like it had been sitting out in a junkyard for years. It looked like it had rust all over it. Well, no, it had been completely restored. But because it originally must have had rust on it, you know, it was blue and then it had brown and, you know, stuff on it to make it look like rust. They actually painted it like that. And it was probably the coolest thing I've seen in a long time when it comes to cars.
Yeah.
I do like cool. It was old really car cool. shows. You know, I don't.
Yeah. I do too.
I don't need to for them to talk to me. Well, it has this kind of engine and blah, blah, blah. But I'm like, oh, what pretty paint.
Like, that's a pretty know, color. I like that color.
I like to see the before and the after. Yeah. Like it's so shiny. Yeah. Look at that pink leather.
We used to go to those all the time when I was married. And
they had a big one here in Wabash. Just recently, and it was in the morning. It's like on a Saturday.
Yeah, I came up that morning to. Yeah. I came up that day to record.
And it's huge. They have it at the Honeywell Center. But what was funny is Saturday morning, it was a beautiful day, calling for no rain. And then all of a sudden, it just poured.
Oh, they don't like that.
The downtown flooded.
Oh, God.
And I just can't imagine those car owners because, you know, I'm sure those things have never seen rain.
Right. Yeah, get the umbrellas.
There's a lot of people that will watch the weather, and if it's going to be bad weather, they will not get their car.
Well, it didn't show it. Like, no one had any idea. And all of a sudden, I mean, it didn't just rain, it just downpoured all of a sudden.
Yeah, I'm sure there was some probably people that wasn't very happy.
They probably got a tarp. I've seen those ones where people who live in places where it floods, it's like a big bag. That you drive your car into and seal it up.
Yep.
Oh, that's funny.
I've seen it work, like where like a parking garage has been flooded and this nice car in this bag has been completely fine.
Now, see, I've never been to one, but when I noticed that it suddenly started to downpour, I wondered if, do the owners just stay around their car? Mm-hmm. Okay, because I know that, they're opening up the hoods, the trunks, the doors.
Yeah, they'll close everything up and then just sit.
Okay, so you just have these events, you just have a bunch of people having their cars there and they're just lingering around their own car.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, I wouldn't leave.
That's true.
Some of those are worth more than,
than Kim.
Yeah. The bunker.
Wow.
Well, even, I'd be afraid someone would mess with it.
Yeah.
Or not even the people. Mm-hmm. Coming to see it, I'd be worried about the other car, jealous that mine looks so much better.
I mean, and not only that, not only the money aspect in it, but the time in it. It takes forever to restore a car correctly.
It's like a treasure hunt. Mm-hmm. Some of them, those parts aren't made anymore. So you got to hunt down and cross country.
See, I think that's the difference between the James Dean days and the Ducktail run. One of them will let you have a parts swap. People will come in that has other old cars and take parts and display them, for sale.
That's nice.
So like a vendor. And I think that's the difference between the two. Hmm. I may be wrong.
But they have food and stuff at these, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They have food trucks and they have all kinds of things there. Okay.
James Dean days. I mean, it's not just Fairmount. It's all, even up in Marion, it's just everywhere. And rummage sales.
That's where he was born.
The wazoo.
They have a birthplace museum of some kind for him.
Yeah, I've never been there.
Me either.
You,
surprisingly.
Didn't you go once? Didn't you do a hometown history once?
No, it was on the History Museum of Fairmount, which they have a lot of his stuff there. So they talked mostly about him. But my understanding, at least at that time, there was a second museum in Fairmount for James Dean, the James Dean Museum. Mm-hmm. And now Marion has a museum.
I was going to say, I thought Marion had one too.
Yeah,
but it's newer. Didn't there used to be one out on 69? I don't think that one's there anymore.
I've never seen that, so it may have been way before I was born.
Maybe.
Yeah, our grandpa tried to say that he went to school with James Dean, but that was before Google. And then when Google came out, we're like, he was graduated before you were in high school.
Yeah.
You might have went to his school, but
Google really ruined it for a lot of people.
That's right. So James Dean had already died before my grandpa was in high school. But the high school was very small. Each graduating class was probably 20, 25 people at the most.
That's what my grandma and grandpa's was.
Now, who he did go to high school with and graduated with in that same class was Jim Davis, the author of Garfield.
Okay.
So.
Oh, funny. I had no idea about that.
Well, I didn't either. I didn't realize Jim Davis was that old.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
he's
gone.
Right.
He's gone now, but I didn't realize.
Jim Davis?
Yeah.
He's still alive, I thought.
No, I don't think so.
I thought he was.
I don't remember hearing
that. I'm pretty sure he passed.
Aww. Now, Kim,
we're
going to talk about this.
And I used to drive
if he didn't tomorrow, we're going to hear it.
I used to drive by his studio a lot because it is literally a block away from what was.
Have you been by it lately?
Blunt Hill? No.
It looks really bad. It's really going, they don't do anything.
He's 80.
They don't have
He is still alive? I could have sworn that he had passed.
Well, Facebook probably told you he did because it lies.
No.
What are you?
No, because I thought that they sold the studio to somebody else.
Well, they did. But that doesn't mean he died. He's 80 years old. He's not sitting there cartooning anymore.
Well, I thought that that was part of his estate. I thought he had passed. That's why they were getting rid of it.
Did they take away the giant Garfield that was out front in the yard?
No, it's still there. Oh, good. I think the last time I was by there, it was still there, but it's really, really dilapidated.
Oh, yeah. Well, that sucks. We used to go get stoned on Blunt Hill and then go drive past and wave to Garfield.
Fun fact, when they built that, my grandpa done all the painting on the inside.
Oh, wow.
My grandpa done a lot of work for Jim Davis.
Huh. Mm-hmm. That's a small
world. I can remember being in there once or twice, but.
In high school, in my environmental science class, we went out to his property because he had a big building that they used to recycle water for the house. So if you were using the sink, it would recycle out to this building and recycle through it.
It had its own water treatment plant.
Yeah. And that's what we did a tour of.
I'll be darned.
Yeah. It was pretty cool.
Who knew?
But I never went into the house or anything like that.
Yeah, I've never been to the house. I've just
wonder
been
if it's on Zillow.
Now, Kim.
I don't know.
If Jim Davis dies tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm going to feel so bad.
Like, I feel like every time we talk about someone. I
have to make a lasagna.
They RIP real quick. But no, I didn't know Grandpa graduated with Jim Davis until I went to that museum and was recording with the guy. And he was showing me, they have two large, very large pictures of graduating classes in one of these rooms. And one of them is for James Dean and the other is for Jim Davis. And so I was looking through James Dean's graduating class, and then I was looking through Jim Davis's, and then all of a sudden I saw our grandpa. And it was so like, funny. Oh.
It's hard to miss him. Those eyebrows stick out. Yeah. Like,
well, he also had that James Dean vibe at that time.
They like, all did back then.
I know.
The greaser look.
Yeah, yeah. He definitely had that.
Dark. Danny Zuko. Hey, Sandy. Uh-huh.
Yeah. But it was funny because I like looked at it for a moment before I could pick. I was like, why does that person look familiar?
And then that's my blood relative.
Yeah, that's my relative. But the funny thing was that the director of the museum that I was interviewing, he was like, oh, Ben was your grandfather? And I was like, yeah.
Depends on how well right, he's received.
Right. And he was like, oh, well, I vaguely knew Ben. I was a freshman in high school when he got drafted into the Vietnam War.
Oh, yeah.
And he was like, we have one gas station here in Fairmount. And when your grandfather came back, he was driving this old truck. And we had all heard that he had gotten a medal for being injured. And he's like, so I saw him and I was so nervous. And I just remember saying, Ben, I heard you got a medal. And I'm just like picturing this old man that I'm looking at being nervous, God. You know, and he's like, and your grandfather was like, yeah, let me show it to you. And he's like, and he just reached in the back of his truck and that's where he had it.
That doesn't surprise
me. Yeah, I know. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he's a shrapnel in his forehead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My grandpa had a little bit of shrapnel in his leg. He got a Purple Heart, too, when he was over. Only he wasn't in Nam. That was before.
I think Grandpa was blown off a cliff. Mm-hmm. Well, the story we were told is he was blown off a cliff while trying to rescue his, I don't know what it's called, teammate. I know that's the wrong word, but I don't know war
stuff. Yeah.
His teammate, and then that's how he got injured.
His platoon. Somebody from his platoon.
I feel like war stories, when it's from the person, can be oftentimes like fishing stories.
Right.
You know? And not lying, but exaggerated upon, like blown off a cliff, papaw.
Some people, it depends on who you are, because some people are very outspoken about, you know, them being in a war. They'll tell war stories and everything. Or you could be my grandpa. We didn't talk about it.
Oh, yeah.
It was not just something that traumatic, was talking about.
Like, yeah. They don't want to. Nope, that's.
We did have scrapbooks of pictures from when he was in.
Our grandpa took photos.
Yeah. He was actually in the press, like?
No. He wasn't supposed to. So there's not a lot of pictures from Vietnam. Yeah. And these are on slides. I remember one of him,
like, just in pants. And I was like, I didn't know anybody in our family could have a six pack. I thought we just didn't have the genes for it.
Yeah, my grandpa, I'm sure my mom still has his scrapbook from when
he was. Oh, our family has all of, he took a lot of pictures. Grandpa's
medals and stuff. Yeah.
But see, the problem with the Vietnam War is that no one liked it. So it was a huge thing. Right.
Oh my gosh.
So even when the people who came back and survived the war, I mean, they were getting spit on. And so no one wanted people to have like pictures or anything like that, but he took a lot, and there are people who are dead in the pictures, but for some reason he wanted to document it and he did. But there's not a lot of pictures. I think if the Smithsonian knew that we had them, they would ask if they could probably get them.
Here's the funny part. This is the age difference. You're talking about your grandpa. My dad was in Nam.
Well, so you are our mom's age.
Yeah, the exact age of our mother.
And I always forget that.
Were you conceived because I don't feel that old.
No, I don't.
What year were you born, Kim?
68. She's so exactly 64. Our mom's age.
Yeah.
Because our mom was his first kid. His first kid. And it was, you know, not... I just always assumed it was right after the war, because that's when, you know, there's always a baby boom right after a war.
Huh. Well, our grandpa wasn't with our grandmother. The Vietnam War ended in 1975.
I honestly don't know the year they were You were married.
Born? Oh, I was born in 68.
Have we been lied to?
68?
My mom was...
Oh, it must have been before the 16. War, maybe.
Yeah, so you were born before the Vietnam War.
Yeah.
Damn, you're
my mom
old.
Was 16 when she got pregnant with my older sister, and my older sister is 2 years older than me.
Yeah, our mom would have been the same then. So she would have, our mom would have been born when grandpa was.
Yeah. So would our aunt.
Yeah.
What years did it
I don't remember when our uncle was born.
What years? He's just a few years younger. So all of them would have. So damn, grandma had 5 kids to raise while grandpa was off in the war. Had no idea.
It was the Vietnam War that he was in, right?
Yeah. Because that's the one where they sprayed Agent Orange, and we hear about that all the god dang time.
Yeah,
that's weird. I guess I always thought that he was still with his high school sweetheart when he was drafted. Hmm. I never realized that.
I don't know, maybe I had it like romanticized in my head. Like, he got back from the war, met grandma while she was a pimp at the restaurant, and then they met, and she had no other option as a woman back then, so she got married and had kids.
Well, so we would have to find out, because the conflict started in 55. We got pushed into it in the early 60s. So there's a chance that when he got hurt, he was sent back.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that probably is what happened. Because oddly enough, after, boy, we are going down a rabbit hole, I'm telling you.
Yeah, no kidding. Now I need to ask.
But I don't know that Josh knows this, but after I saw his picture, I was like, well, he didn't look the same like the grandpa that I knew. In his picture, he was like real happy and real cheerful. And I thought, that's odd.
We'll take that away from him.
Right. Mm. So then I dug up old pictures of him. And our grandma was still alive at this time. And I think that she showed me some. I can't remember exactly how I got my hands on them. Maybe the guy at the museum helped me. Anyway. And my grandpa, in one of the pictures, it looked like he was active in theater and stuff. But I was like, that's very interesting. It's not the person that I knew. And in one of the pictures, he had this shirt and pants that he had like sewn that he loves, like hearts, this woman's name. And it wasn't my grandma's name. And I'm like, ooh.
Killer.
Right? Grandma. I'm like, I wonder who this person is. You know?
What trash is this?
Well, I started doing some research, as one does. Like, I went into this huge rabbit hole and I tracked this woman down. Have I told you this? This was several years ago.
Grandma was still alive.
The memory of it is faded. So I tracked this woman down. She still lived in Fairmount at the time. She's probably dead now.
Doing big things. Right. Still in the same town.
And I was like, I found her on Facebook and I sent her this Facebook message. And I was like, hey, I know this sounds real weird.
You probably lost your virginity to my grandpa. Well, I'm his grandson.
Yeah. Well, that's why I was like, you know, he had passed and I was doing some research. And she got back to me and she's like, I am so glad that you reached out. Ben was such a wonderful person, so kind. But throughout all my conversations with her, it was really interesting because she was telling me what he was like in high school and they were so in love. Well, then he had gotten drafted. And when he came back, she was like, he was completely changed. He would throw off the handle. And well, in my conversation with her, we believe that it could have been a result of the head trauma that he had had because she's like, he got back and he was angry, you know, not the same person that went over. Yeah. So my guess is that the head injury plus
the trauma, because I mean, Vietnam, they did some evil things.
Well, yeah. Well, you know, the soldiers weren't treated great.
Oh, no.
You know, they were thrown all these chemicals and stuff, horrible condition.
I think trench foot was
a
big, I don't know if it was necessarily a killer, but I mean, it took a lot of men out.
Yeah. Well, and then you're coming back from all that horrible experience, you know. Our grandpa was just in a small town.
Right.
Fairmount,
tiny.
Yeah, he had never experienced that.
Killing villagers and eating monkeys and getting sprayed with Agent Orange. And
he comes back and, you know, everyone hates you. A lot of times now we think of soldiers, they're heroes. Everyone, you know, you get your discount everywhere you go.
Right.
But back then, when they were coming back, they were hated. People were despising them. And, you know, they were drafted. They had no choice. So I think that probably like led into the person that we knew.
Anytime I watch movies about Vietnam, it's one of the like wars that seems fictional. I know I'm not saying it was, but it feels like how they used to have the tunnels, like where there'd be hundreds of men in these tunnels and, you know, the U.S. soldiers would walk through and they'd just be dragged down and never seen again, like just killed stuff like that. I'm like, this seems like...
In the jungles?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Swamps.
So a couple years ago, Wendy was going on a vacation. You know, she goes all over the world. I just want to be her when I grow up.
I know.
Just take
go
a
on
vacation.
Safari.
Oh, yeah. That's her favorite thing. A safari. But anyway, so she was planning her next vacation. And I was like, Wendy, where are you going? And she's like, oh, I'm going to Vietnam. And I was just like, are they letting people back in? You know, like, I guess
Lord have mercy.
Here in the U.S., we just don't ever hear about Vietnam.
We don't speak of Vietnam.
No, I only have ever heard of Vietnam in the war. And, you know, we hated each other. And I was like, oh, are they letting people back in? She's like, yeah, they're very friendly.
Oh, God.
She's like, Americans go there to vacation. Like, it's a very friendly place. It's a great place to go. Huh. But she was sending me all these photos, and she was in a city. And so it was, you know, very well built up. And she's like, it's a wonderful place to vacation. And I was just like, I would feel so weird going there, just having a jolly old time, knowing that our grandpa was there and the horrible experiences that all of them faced.
I'd be real like, sorry. Right. I'd bump into someone accidentally. Guys, oh, I'm so sorry.
Have you guys seen the wall in D.C.?
I've never been to Washington,
the Vietnam Wall.
No.
I think our grandpa is on it. The soldier wall?
Well, that's people
only
who died
for people that passed. In the war. Yeah, that... I went to... So Gary's brother had passed away, and they had service for him in Arlington, so he's in Arlington. And when we were there...
I've seen
there,
him in Arlington, Kim, I know.
Oh, that's right. I forgot we went that year. Anyway, so... I told them that I really wanted to see the Vietnam Memorial, mm-hmm. even though I didn't have anything to do with my sperm donor. It still was something that I wanted to see. And I just stood there and cried and cried and cried, just looking at all those names on that wall. It was horrible.
I do know how they built it. So I've seen like documentaries and stuff. Like it's made so that it's like built into the surroundings and it's not like a huge wall
it's
that sticks
amazing.
Out.
Amazing.
Designed really well. Mm-hmm. Our grandpa, and Josh might have got this confused, because our grandpa is on a little memorial at the big cemetery okay. that he's buried in.
It's like I remember seeing his thing. Name.
Yeah, it's somewhere. Like on a brick or something in that memorial.
Oh, a nice brick.
To get to our grandma's house, you had to drive between two huge ass cemeteries, and that's where we would hang out. So
that's where
we saw
used
that
to play.
All the time. Yeah, ride our bikes down there.
He's buried the same place, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's in the back portion of that cemetery.
They're not buried together?
Yeah, they,
no,
are.
They are.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
They share a tombstone.
I don't remember. I mean, I remember it being at your grandma's funeral, but I don't remember.
You were there?
Part of it. Yeah.
Huh.
Did you go graveside?
Recollection.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
I don't remember you at all that day.
All I remember.
I wasn't fully.
No, you guys neither one of you.
All I remember, like, this is the story of our family. One of our relatives started dating another one of our relatives.
Oh my God.
At that funeral. And that's just the idea of.
And in our defense, neither one of these relatives is like, he's a.
Trash.
Not a full uncle. He's like a half. And she's she's like a fourth
cousin.
Yeah. So like, not directly related to us, just barely.
But they saw each other again after many years at our grandmother's funeral.
Yeah, that's still.
How trash. Mm.
Thank God they were too old to breed.
Right. Trash.
That's why I don't talk to them very much. I talk to one aunt pretty much.
You know, I don't like to communicate with some of those people, but I love
it. It is entertaining hearing about them.
It's the same
God.
Reason I have most of my friends on Facebook.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
Hot-ass lives.
There was one person on my Facebook that I kept for years on my Facebook just to watch.
Was she a stripper?
Shit. No. She was somebody that divorced out of the family.
Oh. I had a friend of, well, it was a relative of a good old friend of mine who was an exotic dancer.
Oh, nice.
She called herself a stripper, so I'm just going to call her a stripper. But I have nothing against that. Girl, you go do your thing, but I'm telling you. Her Facebook posts were hilarious because she was so genuine, you know, bless her heart, but she was just so genuine. But also, like, she would get on Facebook after a night of dancing and would be like, I saw so-and-so's man in there, and she come at me like, I didn't remember. And I'm just like, oh my God, get my popcorn. Let's see what she said.
Ooh.
Yeah. And her name,
that's funny.
I don't know what her dancer name was off the top of my head, but her real name was just one of those names that are just so easy to make fun of, you know? It's just, It was just so lovely. If I remembered the name, I would say it, but I don't remember the name. But it was just so, like, I've never met someone with that name before. We'll say her name is Yella.
Yella.
Yeah, so you just be like, oh, let me go look to see what Yella said yesterday. Because, I mean, and then, like, baby mama dad would go and she would get, like, you know, talked to about it. And then she would make this Facebook post about it and, like, bring all the drama over to Facebook, which I'm like, girl, please, because I'm here for it.
That's exactly
right. And then baby mama would get on there and be like, no, girl, this, won't you come meet me outside and I'll tear up your butthole.
How
you
about
know, like,
that?
Yeah. So it was. and then if they start settling down too soon, I'm going to admit, I would comment.
And I would feed the stir fire it back up.
Yes, yes.
Stir that pot.
Nuh-uh, he's my man. No, I never said that. But there were times where I was like, oh, I just want to like. Funny.
I saw him there too.
Right. He went home with me.
He ain't shit.
Yeah, I finally got tired of listening to her shit, which, I mean, it was after Amber had passed away. And I guess they were still together for quite a while. But she started saying things. And I'm like, but Locke.
Oh, yeah. I'll entertain it for a little bit, but if it's nothing but just drama after drama, I'm like, girl, you got to pick a struggle. Pick a struggle because I ain't watching this anymore.
Yeah, at some point in time, if you complain too much, and just as Josh said,
it'd be like watching
wolf.
Jerry Springer 24/7. Yeah. Eventually, you're unfit. You're like,
You're willing all of your negativity that's happening to you into your life.
Right. You got to make better decisions, honey. You're in your 50s.
One of my favorite phrases.
I'm referencing a girl currently. She keeps posting. First, she was with this real attractive man. And then apparently they broke up. They go back together. They broke up again. And then within the week, she was engaged to this very unattractive man. And then that was a month ago. And since then, she's been single and engaged to this one man about 4 or 5 times and had her first grandbaby.
Oh my God.
I'm like, I had to unfriend her. I'm like, I can't just watch nothing but drama. Right. And now you took away the hot guy and I got to watch this brown-toothed fella.
Yeah,
on his motorcycle.
Oh
no. Make better decisions.
So ridiculous.
One of my favorite phrases that Josh uses is, woe is me.
Oh, yeah.
And I get that. Like, as soon as someone starts complaining about something, I do
woe is me.
I think it now in my head a lot. Kim's like, oh, I'm so tired. My butt hurts. My face hurts.
Woe
my finger hurts. But after the second complaint, all I hear is the music from
Violin.
The Titanic sinking.
I don't remember what I was complaining about when I was texting you the other day, but I wrote this great big long text and I sent it to him.
I read the first sentence.
And I'm like, he's going to send back, can you sum that up in like 2 lines? But he never said anything. You must have read the whole thing. No, he must have read the whole thing because he started, you know, he was talking to me and after I said it, I was like, yeah, he's going to not read that.
You should try.
I probably screenshotted it and was like, summarize this for me.
Hey Siri, summarize.
Right? Josh said the S word. You're gonna get all these people's phones and just don't say the A word. Good Lord.
Call Daddy.
No, cancel.
What was that? Do you want me to? I don't think I currently have anybody in my phone under that.
That was so funny.
So for today's mystery, Josh, would you like me to go or you to go first?
I will.
Okay. Well, you go right on ahead.
Let's see.
I'm just going to warn everybody they need to buckle in because we've not been together for a while and we'll be doing a lot of talking.
Right. 27 minutes in already.
Already? Yep. Just a warning.
Oh, just before I get started, there's a new Bluebell ice cream out and it's classic pecan pie.
I can't wait. Sounds refreshing.
I can't wait till I get my hands on that. And yes, I say pecan. I don't say pecan. That sounds preposterous.
Preposterous.
It's pecan, like candy pecan. This was going to be my mystery during our live. It was my backup in case we needed time filler. So it's from Colorado.
Yay!
Well, my mystery for today happened in Colorado and combines history, true crime, and the unknown. The chef in question was a man named Alfred Packer, who was known as the Colorado Cannibal.
Oh.
In the late 1800s, he worked as a mountain guide through parts of Utah and Colorado. That was until one winter when he guided a group of men through the mountains. But only Alfred made it back out after the 66-day trip. When you think about, like, people, you know, back in the 1800s, like, oh, I'm going to hire someone to track me through the mountains. For some reason, I had it in my head, like, oh, you know, like a week.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Right.
Months. Yeah. Hell no. Months. Well, today, it's still a mystery about what happened up on the mountain. The skeletons of the other men were eventually found, and most suspect Alfred of wild cannibalism. But he claimed, with multiple confessions, that he only ate one of the men for survival. It all started in 1873 when a down-on-his-luck miner supplemented his income by taking tours as a wilderness guide through the Rocky Mountains from Utah to Colorado. He had successfully completed the trek several times, but this winter from 1873 to 74 was especially harsh. Again, these weren't little simple hikes through the mountains. They lasted several months, and during that time, they were completely exposed to the elements and at the mercy of whatever food they could forage and hunt. Well, after 3 months, the team of 21 men, including Alfred, came across the camp of a Ute native, Chief Ouray. Luckily for the men, the chief did allow them to stay and even fed them. He then warned them of the upcoming winter weather and advised that they stay in the camp until it was over. Most of the men agreed, but Alfred and five other men decided to venture out the next day, not believing in the chief and his warning. Something that would eventually bite them in the ass. And Alfred would also bite them in the ass, apparently.
Not the good kind.
Not in a good way, either. Not in the friendly nibble. Well, once the men left camp, it would be 2 months until Alfred, entirely alone, came stumbling out of the mountains. The people who found Alfred were amazed by how fit and plump he was after surviving an entire winter out in the elements.
He was eating high on the hog, mm-hmm. so to speak.
Right.
Well, I mean, no matter how good of a hunter someone is, if you're out in the mountains and the wilderness mm-hmm. for months at a time, you're not going to come back heavier than when you left.
That's true.
Then, when asked about his five other travel companions who left the chief's camp, Alfred initially claimed he was separated from them and that he only survived by eating rosebuds and hunting occasional rabbits.
Yeah, right.
So he got fat on them little rosebud things.
You didn't know those had a lot of calories in there, did you?
Right.
It's nothing but cholesterol. Then they asked how he, if separated, managed to have several of the men's wallets on his person as well, all loaded with money. Now, Alfred wasn't slick with it either. Remember, this is 1874. Soon after being found, like the next day, Alfred went to the tavern and spent $100 in one night. To us, that might not seem like a lot.
That's a lot back then.
Yeah. What year was it?
1874.
Oh, yeah.
So in today's money, it's about a $3,000 exchange. So that'd be like one of us going to a club. And, you know, again, he was a poor miner. So people know he ain't got no money.
No.
Right.
And then he's just showing up randomly out of the woods after months and has what would be worth thousands of dollars that he's just been in a night.
Buying everybody
at a tavern. Everybody drinks. I mean, I'm sure there was probably some ladies of the evening purchased.
Oh, yeah. Probably.
Some extracurricular activities. Well, after the spending spree at the tavern, Alfred was arrested. I mean,
well, yeah.
They're like, something's up. Then, with a little encouragement, he confessed a second time, now claiming that one of the men he was leading killed the other men while Alfred was away scouting the trail ahead. He said upon returning to the camp that he was forced to kill the murderous man in self-defense. Then, and only then, did he resort to cannibalism to stay alive.
That sounds realistic. I'm going to defend myself and then I'm going to eat you.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
I don't want this meat to go to waste.
Oh my God, God. Like, oh, he almost killed me. Oh, but that ass looks good.
Anybody for rump roast?
Ooh.
What's rump roast? Tender.
A nice beef roast from the ass, essentially. Oh. Like right
like a ham roast?
Right above. Basically like the cow version of a ham.
Oh, okay.
Not as fatty.
You just put like potatoes and
yeah.
vegetables? Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's what grandma would put in like her roast.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I just never
if it was on rump. Sale, because that's a good slice of meat, nice and tender.
Is that where like you would put a tramp stamp if it was a human?
That's where you would like rump? Brand the cow, like okay. On the booty.
I got
the
you.
Booty meat.
Booty meat.
Got that booty meat. Well, after he resorted to cannibalism to stay alive, after he confessed to cannibalism to stay alive, Alfred was in prison to await trial. But again, it was Colorado in the 1800s, and so their prison was a makeshift log cabin. However, due to the cabin's lack of security, Alfred was able to bribe the guard and made his escape. And that led him on a 9-year multi-state and multi-identity escape. There we go.
Run.
Sorry, it is barely 9 a.m. and it's Saturday and I am not a morning person.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, I was up at 6:30 to get here on time.
I was up at 6 because of insomnia. And I went to bed at 2.
Yeah, that's about the same I was.
I love that game. That's one of my favorite games is who's more tired.
Uh-oh.
It's one of my favorite things adults do.
Now, in Kim's defense, she has...
a much older person than I am.
Yes, and she doesn't breathe at night because she doesn't have a CPAP.
I don't know if I breathe. I don't move. Poor dog. I wake up sometimes and she's just like, please wake up. I have to pee.
I had a really bad headache. I couldn't go to sleep.
Drink some water.
If you could breathe, you probably would be able to sleep a little better.
That might help.
Y'all both can bite my butt.
We just care about
you. You better watch out, Kim. You might...
Hey, if we didn't care about you, we'd be like, I don't give a shit if you breathe or
with
not.
With the story that you're telling, don't bite my butt.
Yeah. It's too soon, Kim. Too soon.
She lasts me through the winter. My rump roast.
Turn her into jerky.
I love jerky.
Well, after almost a decade, Alfred was eventually identified... while living in Wyoming, and going by the name John Schwartz.
May the Schwartz be with you.
Schwartz. Well, I was like, oh, Wyoming. We drove through that corner. Mm-hmm. It was a very pretty state. I enjoyed that little part of Wyoming. Mm-hmm. I'd like to go back.
Cheyenne?
Sure.
That's where it was.
Yeah. Oh, I had no idea. Well, this time, Alfred's confession was more detailed. As if the years on the run, living with his crimes, might have wore him down. He claimed that one of the men, Shannon Bell, had killed the other men to eat them. He then confronted Shannon when Alfred had realized what he did. Shannon attacked him, and Alfred was forced to kill him with a hatchet. Similar to his previous confessions, but now he gave more details. Then I was able to actually find a letter that he wrote of his confession.
Oh.
Which I love. I was like, ooh. Now, again, this is
scandal
written by a minor from the 1800s. So there might be some improper English. Heaven, not on this podcast. I just used the wrong words. Well, the letter says, I was going to say states, but says, the letter says.
Improper English?
What's it says?
Tell us what it says, Josh.
Bell, the strongest and most able-bodied man of our party, had succumbed to the power of mental derangement and was causing the party to be very much afraid of him, as well as that which they felt to be the inevitable doom of each mentality. I am at a loss to fully express our feelings at this stage, but we consulted each other and concluded to come down off the mountain, for we could not tell whether we had passed the agency or not, for it was either snowing or blowing constantly. And as it happened, we descended to the Lake Fork of the Gunnison River. We camped one night just above the lake. In the morning, I ascended the mountain for the next purpose of ascertaining if there were any visible signs of civilization on the opposite side. The snow being very deep, it required the entire day to make this trip and return. And as I neared the camp on my return, I was confronted by a terrible sight. As I came near, I saw no one but Bell. I spoke to him, and then, with the look of a terrible maniac, his eyes glaring and burning fearfully, he grabbed a hatchet and started for me, whereupon I raised my Winchester and shot him.
Oh my gosh.
The report from my rifle did not arouse the camp, so I hastened to the campfire and found all of my comrades dead. Can you imagine my situation? My companions dead and I left alone, surrounded by the midnight hours of starvation, as well as those of utter isolation. My body weak, my mind acted upon in such an awful manner that the greatest wonder is that I ever returned to a rational condition. It feels like a lawyer might have wrote this. This don't seem like a miner's words. In looking about, I saw a piece of flesh on the fire, which Bell had cut from Miller's leg. I took this flesh from the fire and lay it to one side, after which I covered the bodies of my dead comrades. I remained here with them during the night, and in the morning I moved about 1,000 yards below, where there was a grove of pine trees. I distinctly remember of taking a piece of the flesh and boiling it in a tin cup. I also know that I became sick and suffered most terribly. My mind at this period failed me, but I am satisfied that I must have eaten some of the flesh. But my mind was a total blank for a considerable period of time. When my mind returned, I found by my tracks that I had been visiting around the adjacent territory, seeking rosebuds, which I apparently found, for I had noticed that by force of habit, I had been stewing them in my tin cup as well. After that confession, Alfred Packer was originally sentenced to death in 1883, but the conviction was overturned, and there was a second trial in 1886 where he was convicted of manslaughter and sentenced to 40 years in prison. A judge, M.B. Jerry, sentenced Alfred to be hanged by the neck until you are dead, dead, dead. But that conviction was overturned in 1885 by the Colorado Supreme Court. The court ruled that the murder was committed while Colorado was a territory, but Packer was convicted under state law. Then the trial in 1886. This time, he was charged with 5 counts of manslaughter, and this is where the 40 years, in the state penitentiary in Cannon City, where he received 8 years for each of his victims. But with the help of Denver Post reporter Polly Pry, who was convinced of his innocence, Alfred was paroled in 1901 after serving only 15 of the 40 years. Alfred Packer died a few years later in 1907 at the age of 65. Today, the answers to the mystery of the Colorado cannibal died along with him. Because of his multiple confessions, lack of accountability, and the lack of concrete evidence, no one will ever know if he intentionally killed those men, either for survival or to rob them. What we do know is that Alfred Packer took those men on a multiple-month journey through the mountainous wilderness as their guide, which I think was his first crime. I don't think he had any business doing that work. I looked into, you know, his past. His dad was a blacksmith. He was one of, you know, many children, as most were back then. And Alfred, originally he had some work as like a cabinet maker.
Mm.
But that just a blacksmith's son and a cabinet maker don't really scream to me as a wilderness adventure guide.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And he also didn't have the wit to listen to a literal native chief who lived on those mountains who was warning him that bad winter weather was coming.
Yeah.
Even offered, hey, we got plenty of space and food. Chill with us in our camp until it's right. safe. That's what I think when Alfred, by the time he left, he already had the like intention to mm-hmm. kill those men. Because yeah. why would you, like, I wouldn't be leaving 15 plus right. other men, like, especially that long in the wilderness. Right. The more people you have, the better your odds. I'm not going to just go along with five people.
Right.
Especially when there's a native man who's like, hey, don't do it. Bad weather coming. I've lived here my whole life. My people have lived here forever.
Right.
We know these mountains. Don't leave. Nah, I want their money.
Nah, I'm gonna eat that ass.
Nah, I don't like, you know, I need some protein.
Yeah.
I don't like elk. Like, good God. Alfred did make the decision to continue, and the men who joined him were, I think, already doomed for death as soon as they left that camp. My theory is that, you know, he had full intention of like, ooh, this is my chance. I can get these, you know, kill these guys. I don't think his intention was necessarily to eat them, but I think it was to rob them, whether by, you know, stealing or murder, then stealing.
Yeah. It's gotten too deep.
Yeah. In the snow, literally.
Right.
I did see it was snowing where we were at the national park the other day.
Oh, really?
It was just, I think yesterday, it was cool because it was a video of the road we were on. It was past the tree line. They were going towards that gift shop at the top, but they weren't there yet. But I was like, hey, I remember. That's by where that dog was driving.
Right. Where we parked.
Mm-hmm.
Well, today, no one knows if Alfred Packer resorted to murder and cannibalism to stay alive, or did he have to defend himself against a crazed, starved murderer, or did he just see it as an easy way to get a good sum of money? The world may never know. Now I want a Tootsie Roll.
Tootsie Pop, you mean?
Yeah, there we go. That's the only ones I'll eat. I don't care for just a plain, but I love the fruity ones made by Tootsie Roll, the vanilla ones especially.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I forgot about those.
Oh, my bless your heart goes out to all the victims and families who attended CrimeCon this year. Again, this was my mystery at CrimeCon. My favorite part is being able to be an ear and shoulder for them to tell their stories. In my next mystery, we'll be covering some of the cases that were brought to my attention. Hopefully, someone out there might be able to give some answers on one of them. And mine will be over just a few of the ones I was able to come across. Mm-hmm. One of them was they had a booth set up directly across from us, and I had went to one of the events I went to was like the families of victims speaking out. And this was the very first one, his mom and then his dad came out. And then I went and talked to them when I saw, I was like, oh, they're directly across from us. They gave me a bag with like pens and stuff mm-hmm. with his case information on it. And I've been leaving them like anywhere I go that has a pen, you know, mm-hmm. take a pen, leave a pen. Well, do you guys have anything else? I'll do my outro.
Yeah, go ahead.
Right ahead.
Well, join us on Patreon for
Take two.
We like to talk. Come listen to us. We're good at it.
We're so good.
We are so good, and we can pronounce names from anywhere, any place, anytime.
I speak so eloquently.
Join us on Patreon for exclusive bonus episodes of Unmasked and peek into our personal lives. By becoming a member, you'll enjoy benefits like direct messaging and special Patreon-only live events with games, mysteries, and exciting prizes.
Yeah, we need to come up with something new. It's been a while. Some kind of a good new something. Game or...
We sell Kim's rump roast butthole. Thanks. A little sour.
Yes.
Well, we put you in drag last time. What can we do this time?
Yeah, I don't know.
Make you a man. I'll get the sock. You can find us on Patreon under at It's Mystery Inc. And we'd love to connect with you. So send us a postcard at P.O. Box. Is it still the same P.O. Box?
Yeah.
Okay. I just remember
690.
I toned out because you went into like a 15-minute long story about a P.O. Box. And I can only listen to 2 minutes about a P.O. Box. So after the second.
You two are the same.
After the second time they had to change the lock, I zoned out. So yeah, we'd love to connect with you. Send us a postcard at P.O. Box 690 Wabash, Indiana 46992. And if you have any ideas for mysteries you'd like us to cover, you can submit them at our email now at mothmanatemyass@gmail.com. That's mothmanatemyass@gmail.com. All spelled out, no numbers.
There you go.
Yeah. I was honestly surprised it was available. I typed it in like, this ain't going to be, I'm going to have to do like mothmanatemyass 0009, you know, 100 letters.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, I can't, like, you know, it's so hard. Anytime you make a new email, the first thing you put is, oh, that's taken, because they've been around for decades now. Almost everything is taken.
You will probably be prompted every time we tell people to you know, send us something in that way. And we're going to go, oh, Josh, what is
that? That's why I did it too. I'm going to use, next time I'm at like a register and they're like, would you like to give us an email? I sure would.
Mothman ate my ass.
At gmail.com. I love it. I'll do it loud and proud too. I'll even ask for it. Account. Do you guys have an email reward program? I'll give you my email.
And say it as loud as you can. Mothman.
Eight, A-T-E, not the number.
E as in cannibal.
Yeah. Put that proboscis tongue deep in there. Well, that's why I think it's such a good joke, because moths have like the, you know, the real long curly tongue. I'm like,
oh. I did not know that.
Yeah, did not either.
That's how moths and butterflies, that's, you know, they... Their little tongues are those little, and they kind of stretch it out.
No wonder they seem happy all the time.
Stick it down in the flower to get the nectar. Yeah.
There you go, Kim. Start using that language when you go in days. Stick your tongue out and get that nectar.
If Mothman got a tongue, it's going to be about, you know. Yeah. So get that nectar, guys, and we'll talk at you next time.
Yeah, we'll see you on Unmasked.
Bye.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.